why would Microsoft be recording you? Like, what on earth could they possibly be gleaning? Like, from the millions of users at the same time, like, someone's, like, sitting there going through all these videos of, like, people just sitting playing video games, and, like, the one dude,
no, man,
like,
you see, they have keywords, and as soon as you say, smoke up, toke this, where'd the meth at? Someone says that.
As you can see, Ethan has done a lot of drugs.
Then the popo will come. They will automatically just record that.
How many pots have you smoked?
I know, man. I've been watching The Wire, man. I see how it is.
Omar coming.
Omar
coming. So we change the subject.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pixel Podcast. It's been a while. It's been a long time.
We're back.
Wow, how long has it been? 3 months?
I want to say April. It was right after BioShock Infinite came out.
Yeah, we were with Janice and Eric.
Yeah.
Shout outs to those two.
Yeah, we miss you.
We'll be seeing you soon, actually. Yeah. Probably by the time you hear this. But anyway, I'm Matt.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Ethan.
And I'm Ricardo.
Oh, boy. So we got a full house today, four people. It's taken us a while to get this set up. It's taken us too long to get this set up, both in terms of the 4 months it's been and in terms of the last, like, you know, 30 minutes of getting this working. But we're here now, and boy, has a lot happened since then.
Yes. Yeah, a whole E3 happened,
oh,
actually.
Man. And I feel like we should probably go over, yeah, I mean, like, there's been games, there's been E3. There's been consoles that have been announced since we last talked.
Yeah.
There have been lines drawn in the sand.
A whole console came out.
Sides
guys.
Have been taken.
Did you guys realize a new console
shots
came
have
out
been
by
fired.
The Ouya.
The Ouya
is now out in store shelves.
Oh yeah, the Ouya.
Remember when
Oh no.
Remember when that was a thing that people were talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before we talk about that, why don't we talk about what we've been playing?
Yes. What have you guys been
true
playing?
True to form.
Yeah, just, you know, let's give it a roundtable discussion here. Yeah. What we've all just been playing is Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
For 3DS. Animal Crossing New Leaf.
15 minutes ago.
And for the first time, actually played with people.
That was fun.
We played with each other, mm-hmm. which was nice. I didn't think I'd actually ever get to play my 3DS Animal Crossing with anyone.
Yeah.
It was quite a lot of fun, but I have to say the interface for it is a little clunky.
It's a little slow. It's a little connections and stuff.
I played it with you, Ethan, and I played it with Matt online, like, you know, where
Wi-Fi.
Via the internet, and it's not as much fun as playing it in a room with people because
you can just shout at
them. You can just yell at people. You can tell, like, what you want to do and what you have, and oh, let's go to my town. Because, like, when I'm playing it on on the internet, it's pretty much for one task. It's
I'm going to drop something off.
I need to give you mangoes, so I'm bringing those. And then I come and then I'm
like, the fruit.
Here it is. And then I just leave because there's nothing like, what am I going to type out? Hunt and peck. Like,
yeah, the thing was,
is
we tried originally playing on Skype, and then our internet was just like, nah, you don't, you can't do
that.
That
was really
odd. It was really weird.
Whoa, you guys are trying to use Skype and another thing at the same time.
My Wi-Fi was crying.
Yeah.
Some podcasts are made that way, actually.
Over Skype?
Not ours.
No. No, we're
better
real.
Than that.
What are you talking about? I'm not here.
here at Pixel Legends,
well, so
everyone is looking each other in the eye.
Yeah. This is true. But it does not use the chat capability?
The chat, you know, it works, but you got
to,
like, stop and type in
a
really short sentence.
No, I mean, like, the actual, like, audio.
Oh, audio?
Like,
There's no voice chat in it.
Really?
Remember what was that game? The Metroid game for the original DS had voice chat in it. Do you guys remember that?
Oh yeah, Metroid
Prime.
Metroid Prime Hunters.
Yeah.
I know Pokemon Diamond and Pearl also had voice chat in
it.
Because I was playing with my cousin
one time.
And I could hear like brief shouts of what he would say through the DS.
Was he commanding his Pokemon?
Yeah, fuck off. No, he was just pretty much just like yelling when he would get like a crit and stuff.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Just like, what? you can do this? Like, what?
Yeah, that's weird. It's weird that it's kind of, I guess, regressed, because if you think about it, even the Wii version of Animal Crossing had
Wii Speak
or whatever that was, like, only for that game. But then this version, even though the 3DS has a microphone, I guess maybe it's a bandwidth thing. I don't know. I mean,
it's so weird that I mean, part of me just wants to say we just haven't figured it out.
I think the internet code is a little bit, like, we disconnected while playing.
Yeah, we did, and that was really weird.
And then
we were all next to each other.
That's not the first time I've heard of that happening. Like, it seems that, like, in fact, actually, while watching, a game site do a showing of it, they disconnected.
Mm.
And then I've seen some people on Twitter talking about how they've had several disconnections while playing that game. So maybe this didn't want to add another thing to their...
We were playing for about an hour, I'd say, and we'd only crashed on us once, which was, I think, okay. We got to do everything we wanted to do, essentially.
It was just an inconvenience.
The thing is, it's very cumbersome to get four people in the same
because you got a town because every single time someone enters your town,
watch every person do their animation, and it gets kind of old.
But yeah, every time someone enters your town.
But going to the island is great.
It shows you them coming off the train into the town, but everyone watches this at the same time.
The island is also cumbersome to get on and off because if you're like, all right, time to leave, and you have to, all right, now everyone's got to go home. We got to watch everyone go home, and then you can save. And it's kind of clunky, but, I mean, that's just Nintendo Online.
Let's talk about the things we like about the game in general.
That game is a fun game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not bashing on that game.
The writing is just super charming and witty, just as always.
Although a little long, not to keep harping on bad things, but like I do like it, you know, every time you go to a store to sell something, you have to like go through a couple dialogue boxes of
hey, welcome, and then oh, you're leaving, bye. Okay.
It's kind of clunky,
but the writing is good. The art design's nice. It's obviously Animal Crossing.
It looks good in 3D.
It looks better than it. As in the past,
absolutely.
I think.
Yeah.
There's more goals than ever before. I think it gives you a lot more to strive towards than in old Animal Crossing. You would want to, you know, build your house up. You would want to, you know, try and collect a lot of different fruit and plant them and whatever. But at some point, and obviously the museum and stuff. But at some point, you were just kind of like putting arbitrary goals for yourself.
Yeah.
And
this one, there's Sims.
Yeah. There's a lot more to strive towards, like
because this time you are the mayor.
Yeah, no, this time you are the mayor of your town, so you can start public works projects. People will come to your main street and want to build stores, and I had a club that just opened. Who else's club just opened up?
Mine's being constructed.
Yeah, I just went to mine and danced in it before going to you guys, and nobody was there except for KK Slider and that weird guy with the weird hair.
You should put a notice on the bulletin board and say, hey.
I have a new store. I have a new store opening up above the Able Sisters, the dress and shirt store.
So. That's also one of the interesting things is, like, we're all playing differently. So everything happens in different order for us. For example, like, Andrew has his second story of the museum being built, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Well, the option is now
there. The option's now there. I have not seen that, but I've got the dream suite already.
But Andrew only just got the upgraded, like, general store.
Yeah.
I have had for a while now, and I believe
and,
you guys have as well.
I have the QR code reader in the Able Sisters shop, so I don't think any of you guys have that yet.
Oh, no. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. People have been posting up on Twitter, like, their little codes and saying, hey, scan this in your machine so you can get it. And I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, speaking of Twitter, you've been posting up your screenshots.
That's another thing that's a little bit clunky. I wish it was a little bit faster to do. It's because basically in New Leaf, if you hit both the shoulder buttons at any time, you can take a picture. So whatever's going on,
3D screenshot.
Yeah, you take a screenshot from your 3DS. And then Nintendo now offers an image sharing service, but it's like a website that you have to visit that wasn't very well known.
That you have to go on the 3DS web browser.
You have to go on the 3DS web browser, bring up the website, hit what social media, either Tumblr, Twitter, or Facebook that you want to log into, log in, then choose the screenshot from your 3DS.
Can you do multiple at once?
No. You have to do one at a time. You have to do one at a time.
Tedious.
But, so, like, for me, I would prefer to just do...
I never thought I would say I wanted Facebook integration in a game. But man, if you just could do that right from the Animal Crossing menu, like, that would be...
Like, I would prefer to just tell people what I'm doing as I'm doing it. But what it ends up in is looking like a very weird, like, schizophrenic thing. Because, like, I just post, like, an entire day's screenshots on Twitter at once. So it's like...
We did take pictures together, though.
Yeah. So
and
those
will be we were all playing, so...
So check out Ricardo's Twitter account.
Or... The Pixel Legends Facebook, maybe. Animal Crossing avatars.
That's an idea.
Animal, the Animal Crossing hashtag it's put in there.
Yeah,
doesn't
automatically.
It, like, you can't just take the SD card out and just put it in.
No, it's really weird. I tried to do that on my computer and it didn't.
It's probably because it takes it's that like special like 3D image or something.
Yeah, that could make sense.
That's even if it's like a 2D, even if your screen was on 2D.
I have no idea.
Regardless, if you do search on Twitter the hashtag ACNL, you'll get some really, really great pictures from people. Like, that's a really entertaining.
I should actually,
that's actually a good idea.
I
just got annoyed by it. I didn't actually go and look at it. See if it was worth
Ricardo's our social media expert, so he would know these things.
3DS social media integration. Who thought?
That's Nintendo, man, with their clunky, just weird integration to things. They're kind of testing the waters, I guess.
Hey,
they don't really know what they're doing.
The boundaries these days.
They're definitely on the cutting edge.
Pushing the internet boundaries, man, when it comes to internet innovation. Nintendo.
I'm not talking internet in general.
Who else thought of friend codes? No one. Nintendo leading the way once again.
You know, the Miiverse is pretty good, all right? I'll give it that.
We were just looking at the Miiverse for if anyone has a Wii U, even if you do not own Game and Wario, and by accounts it seems like it's not necessarily a must have, so you know, if you're having fun with it, great, but most people seem to say that it's not worth the money, at least right now. But still, if you have a Wii U, go to the Miiverse and check out the Game and Wario Miiverse page. There's a specific one actually for like a subsection, like drawings, like special drawings. And there's some funny stuff on there.
It's great.
So go check that out, because that's pretty fun.
So what else you guys been playing besides Animal Crossing? Anything?
On the absolute flip side of Animal Crossing is
Last of Us?
State of Decay.
Oh.
Close.
Oh, so Ricardo was talking about maybe getting that earlier.
Yeah, I was...
sell him on it.
I've been... Yeah, sell me on it, because I've been hearing a lot of good things about State of Decay, but...
Well, it's... I liken it more to a zombie survival simulator than an actual game.
Oh, okay.
It is exceptionally stressful.
Yeah, it seemed like it was more about the survival than like running through a level.
Totally. Yeah. And, I guess we should start at the beginning. You start out with just kind of like one or two guys, and then you kind of collect more survivors as you go. You run into people who need help, and if you gain your trust with them, you know, they'll say, hey, we're not doing so well on our own, can we join you guys? And then you have just kind of this band of survivors, and you switch off between survivors, because after you go and get supplies, your guy will get tired. He needs to rest, so then you switch to a different survivor and you go into town. And that's the whole thing about it being called State of Decay, because it really is the second law of thermodynamics, where you are eventually going to run out of supplies. Like, there is a finite number of supplies in this world, and eventually you are going to run out.
Is there a story? Are you going somewhere?
Well, there is a story, and you can go through all the story missions and then keep playing until you basically die. But, it could take a while. I don't know. It could take a few months. It could take a couple of years. But, like, resources and things like cars don't respawn. You know, they don't fix themselves when they get beaten up. You know, you can get... when you have your home base, which you can move, like you can find like, oh, this place looks more defensible, so I'm going to move all my guys here. You can create things like workshops and gardens to grow food, or, you know, kitchens to make that food healthier, or more sleeping areas so your people get more well rested, so you can go out and hunt for things for longer periods of time. But like, you can, if you have like a second level workshop or whatever, you can eventually park your cars into certain areas so that they'll get fixed up overnight. But even then, they only get fixed up to a certain point.
Right.
And so like but the stressful part about it, the most stressful part about it, is the AI isn't always the best. Cause you could, like, you're off, like, questing or like, scavenging somewhere, and then it'll say so-and-so is missing, which is one of your party members who decided, oh, I'm going to go take initiative and, like, go find some supplies over here. Yeah. No, if it were up to me, I would have all of them stay at my base right where I want them, safe and sound, so I don't have to worry about them dying.
Why is that not an option?
I don't know, but it should be.
It's kind of weird.
It's because, man.
Because it would be too easy otherwise, I guess.
That's realistic, I guess, yeah.
I've also heard, like...
Did they ever come back?
Yeah,
alive?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. But do they always go missing, or do they...
Well...
Sometimes they just come back.
Well, it can be several things. Sometimes it can be so-and-so got in a jam, and you can go and save them, and then, you know, bring them back. Other times, they'll go hang out at a spot, and then they kind of create, like, a side quest, where it's like, hey, there's a special infected over here. Help me take him down. And then if you wait a certain point without going it, the guy will just be like, okay, this quest expired. And
there's
go back. But
there is another game very similar to this game that was, I think, a PC game. And it's not very – it's an older game. And I do not know the name of it. But if someone does know the name of it, email us. Because I remember seeing, like, a Let's Play of it or something like that. That it's almost exactly like this in terms of, like, you're in this kind of big, really open town.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of go and, like, explore shops and, like, build up your defenses and your base, find survivors and bring them back. And then, like, I don't know if this happens in State of Decay, but then, like, eventually, like, a big zombie wave will come and attack your stronghold. And if you have enough survivors and defenses build up, then
there is kind of something comparable to that, because
yeah.
there are hordes that will come.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to having your main fortress, you can plant up to like 8 or 10, I think, what are called outposts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you plant those strategically around your fortress, you can after a certain number of time passes, they generate traps, so infected can't spawn there.
Hmm.
And then if hordes wander in there, the traps will kill them. You don't actually see, like, snares or anything, like, but they
just kind of an effect that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game looked cool. It's a pretty big world, too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, like, and there's, I mean, it's pretty big. It has everything from guns to crowbars to lead pipes to machetes, you know, all the weapons. Everything has weight to it as well,
mm-hmm.
including ammunition. So
right.
you have to, and you only have, like, so many slots that you can, for your inventory,
right?
You know, and certain.
I heard it was also kind of not, I guess, the most polished game. It's kind of a smaller title, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
it's only $20
yeah.
or $30.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
It's $20 bucks off of Xbox Live Arcade.
I think a PC version is coming. They said they were going to make one.
Yeah, it was like the fastest selling Xbox Live Arcade game when it came out.
Put a zombie out, man. Anyone wants a zombie game.
Yeah.
See, it's kind of, but I heard it was kind of like not as smooth as maybe like a triple A game, but that's
totally.
Also kind of its charm.
It is
that
pretty
would be
buggy.
One of my questions is that you talk about like how you can utilize all these different weapons and stuff. How is combat and gameplay and so?
It's pretty simplistic in terms of the animations and stuff, but there are some like finishing moves that are pretty cool. All like,
right.
I don't know if you guys ever play Dead Rise or Dead Island?
Oh
no,
Dead Island?
No.
Okay, well.
I don't have friends.
Well, enough of that.
All right. Well, all right. Moving on.
But yeah, I recommend it. $20, definitely worth it.
Yeah, it seems good. Like it seems really. It's got some interesting concepts. Like I haven't played it myself,
yeah.
but I've watched it. I watched an extended look at it, basically, and it was a. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, like the management sim almost as much as a zombie
absolutely.
Game.
Yeah, because I was
managing resources and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I'm running out of this. I'm starting to run out of that resource in this town, so I got to go to the next town over and see if I can find it there.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say something is that normally in zombie games, like you mentioned Dead Rising, you were going to say Dead Rising, like you would want to save as many people as possible, but
yeah.
I know that in State of Decay, I heard it's not always an option to save everybody because you don't have the resources to manage a new group of people to come in.
But at the same time, some of the better fortresses or strongholds that you acquire require more people to upkeep it.
Yeah.
That being said, it's hard to save everyone because sometimes they're idiots and they go off on their own. And,
right.
You know.
I feel like this also scratches kind of like a DayZ itch in a way, like just straight up survival.
Yeah, it's very survival-esque,
yes,
like, although it seems to be lighter than DayZ, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still pretty robust. And there's no multi. Is there multiplayer?
No, right? Which is a huge overlook. Yeah, I feel like.
Yeah, like that. I've seen it, and it looks like the sort of game that's perfect for multiplayer, but it doesn't have it. So,
They probably put a lot of work, being, you know, a smaller developer, that they probably didn't want to include network code and all that stuff, and dealing with even those. I mean, they were obviously had enough trouble putting this together with relatively few bugs.
I'd love to see them come out with a sequel on Xbox One or something.
It's been really successful, so let's see what happens.
It definitely feels like it's kind of like a demo for an even bigger, maybe even like full retail release at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it seems cool. I like games more like that that require some sort of like. Some sort of management or survival stuff like DayZ was fun, and like isn't the day night cycle pretty long too? There's a day night cycle, but it's not just like 10 minutes or whatever it would be.
Right, it's not like Harvest Moon Days. It's long.
Harvest Moon.
He's bringing back memories, man. You said that word.
Animal Crossing, playing Harvest Moon, playing.
Since I've really, Animal Crossing has got me looking at the 3DS section a lot, I keep looking at that Harvest Moon 3DS game. I'm like, this is probably garbage, but I kind of want it.
The only Harvest Moon I ever played was the N64 one.
That was the first one I played. I've played several since then, but I haven't played anything since,
GameCube days. I played the DS, one of the DS ones. There's like three or four of them, but
I never played a DS one.
I played the GameCube one. That was the only one I played.
My favorite was actually on PlayStation 1, though, called Back to Nature.
There's a lot of those games.
They make a lot. They used to come out with those almost once every 2 years or something.
I think even more than that.
Oh, probably for different platforms.
I saw a sign, I think it was at E3 or Comic Con, that had this wall of all the Harvest Moon.
That was at E3. I remember that. I was
you were there with me.
Yeah.
And we looked, and then we both looked at it and went, wow, there's a lot of Harvest Moon.
I didn't realize. And the sad thing is, I've probably played at least 5 of these.
I know, but there was 30.
Yeah.
That's the part. Farms. That's not a good percentage of actually playing them.
That's one of the crazy things.
Before Farmville, there was Harvest Moon.
Old school. You didn't have to wait as long. You didn't have to pay money to plant things.
Speaking of paying money, Ethan played today even
The Mighty Quest for Epic Loot. Is that what it's called?
For the Awesomes?
I can't remember. It's got some really long name.
I think that's right.
It's Ubisoft's. Ubisoft?
It's basically
Ubisoft
free-to-play game.
It's an interesting concept. It's a free-to-play game. I mean,
released on what?
PC.
Okay.
It came out. They have Marvel Heroes that just came out, which is a free-to-play Diablo-esque game, and this is kind of Ubisoft's. It's definitely not in clone, but it's their esque Diablo-esque loot-driven hack-and-slash game.
Although the gameplay is like that, that's not what the game is.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
That's the gameplay. There is a metagame.
Let me take you back.
Because Marvel Heroes is Diablo-esque. There's big old levels, big old quests, and there's quests
dungeon
in the worlds, and you're crawling through dungeons, and you're killing enemies.
Okay.
This game
has more like a metagame where you create your own kind of castle, and then that castle other people go in and raid, and you can raid other people's castles.
Yeah.
In a way.
Because your castle, it seemed like your castle not only was a place.
Oh, I think I have seen this.
It's a place where you can create, better armor and stuff and supplies for yourself.
And you store all your money there.
And you store all your money in there. But then you also have to place traps and monsters in the castle.
Yes, okay, I have seen this.
No, you're right. No, I mean, but you guys were there when I played
it. Does
this
have the kind of cartoon aesthetic to it?
Yeah, it has a really neat art style, I think, that I really enjoy.
Yeah, the music was pretty good.
Yeah.
The art style looked nice.
The writing is trying very hard to be funny.
It's trying.
But I don't know.
Some of it's hit and miss.
Yeah,
but
it didn't seem trying. Like, the original, title screen and, opening made it look like it was trying hard, and then when it got down to the actual text, because it's all text once you get in the game, and there's no voice acting, and at that point, there was not as much, this is funny, but there wasn't that much that funny stuff after that. Even not funny stuff. Yeah. It was just kind of standard
How did it play?
It played pretty good. It played pretty much like a slightly slower version. It played probably akin to Torchlight more so than Diablo, because Torchlight I feel is a little bit slower. It seems like a really cool idea. My concern that will be, I guess, revealed when the game actually releases is how they're going to handle microtransactions and stuff. It's a little hard to tell what they're going to do.
It looks like there's going to be
It looks like it might be
it's cusping. Like, it could be really good. It could be really well handled. It could be really poorly handled.
Yeah, I really hope they handle it well.
Well, I mean, initially, you get to choose a class. You can choose a warrior and, like, a rogue-type character.
Like an archer, I think.
And then there's a locked class,
which is only in the super bundle version.
Yeah. Super epic so Uber already, would, like, smelled all funny.
So already you're...
Like the 00 Awesome or something like that. Yeah,
I think that was... That, might
that
have
was
been
it,
exactly,
00 Awesome. I think that's it.
Might have been the exact name for it.
So, I mean, there's some weird monetizing, but this is Ubisoft's, I think, first free-to-play game, so I'm...
We'll see what it looks
we'll
like.
We'll see what happens. It can't be as bad as Marvel Heroes.
The gameplay, or the actual, the whole meta game is right out of, it's lifted almost directly from, for any iOS gamers out there, Clash of Clans. Also, what's the other one? The Hobbit Kingdoms.
The Hobbit Kingdoms.
A lot of Kabam games.
So, basically, the way those games work for those who don't play them is those are very free to play games, if you understand what my meaning by that. Like, yes. they everything takes 3 hours to build, and you can pay to make it go faster if you want. And oh, you don't have enough troops to attack this guy, but if you wanted to buy some more for just $3,
you're gonna have to wait 10 minutes or whatever to do this, or you can pay money and do it instantly.
And the
and 10 minutes goes by, and I'm already over the game.
In Clash of Clans and those games, like, it has that very similar, that's almost exactly the same thing of you build your own fort, and then you can attack other people's forts and steal their money, but they can attack you, mm-hmm. and you gotta spend your money on both recruiting extra dudes to go fight and recruiting defenses for your own castle. Except the only difference is that when you go attack somebody in this game, your dude is actually running in, and you're controlling him. Going around bashing all the monsters,
mm-hmm. yeah,
which is kind of cool.
And
that's
guy,
a little bit more fun.
He levels up.
That's more of a game,
and he gains armor
and power.
Clash of Clans, different powers. You just send them in, and it's like, it says wait 1 hour. You check your phone
you
in
lost.
1 hour, and it's like you lost.
Yeah, it's kind of dull. I mean, that's the thing is, like, if you're waiting on other stuff to happen in the meta game, you can at least go and play the real game itself. And then maybe come back later.
Yeah, and the timers for the beta were short, but I feel like those were not...
That's my fear, really is quick. I don't know how long.
Because those timers were like 5 seconds,
nothing.
30
yeah,
seconds.
Exactly. Might as well
but
not
I
have been
feel
there.
Like when the game comes out, like that was just for the beta so that people could play the beta and learn the rules, but I feel like they would probably be upping those timers to higher numbers.
But, I mean, I can say it's free to play. Yeah. When it comes out, you can try it and...
You pay for everything too. I mean, like, you get a lot of gold. You didn't have to buy any gold or anything like that. That wasn't even an option for you.
Well, makes sense paying for everything because that's in most games.
But I mean, like, you pay to play something, and then you can play to then you pay to use that object, and then you pay to like use the object that you created, and then you pay to
you were paying to level up.
Like, yeah, too. You had to pay to level up.
All right,
like,
all right, fair enough. That
those are all
more.
It's all in-game money. Obviously, you didn't have to. You know, like, again, there's no. You got a lot of gold just from playing the game, so that was fine. But you didn't have to pay any money, but, like, I don't know how much, you know, eventually will that supply of money run out for a player if they're playing it a lot? And then, like, oh, man, if only you had a couple dollars, then you could add that into your
speculation.
Amount, but.
Yeah, I mean... There's no way to tell. There's no way to tell until it actually comes out.
Check it out when it comes out.
I'm sure I could probably troll some forums and find out. Maybe the developers may have posted stuff like how it's going to work, but
hopefully they recognize that and try and avoid it. It seems neat, at least.
I like the idea.
Are you going to play any more of that?
I'm probably not going to play any... Probably maybe play a little bit more, poke around the beta a little bit more, but...
You're certainly not going to spend any more money.
Yeah, well, I don't think you can spend money in the beta, luckily, because it's closed. I'm hoping that I don't spend too much. I usually don't try to spend much time in betas because I know everything's going to get wiped anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So it's kind of like, oh, well, why does it progress when I'm just, it doesn't even matter. Yeah. So,
Ricardo, what about you?
I have been playing, I just finished playing Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Revengeance is, I love that that's the word they chose for that one.
Absolutely. Like, all right, that's a game... Well, that was announced.
It's a game, all right.
And it was announced in 2009. I think at kind of the peak of my Metal Gear, like
interest.
Yeah, my Metal Gear interest.
For you guys who don't know, that was 4 whole years ago.
Yeah. I think I had just finished playing Snake Eater, and really loved that game. And I think Guns of the Patriots... Wait, no, not Guns of the Patriots. What was the, what's Metal Gear 4? Had
Metal Gear Solid 4?
Yeah, had just...
Guns of the Patriots.
Is right. that Guns of the Patriots, or is it two Guns of the Patriots?
No, I think two is Sons of Liberty.
Sons yeah. of Liberty.
Guns of the Patriots 4.
You're right. I want to say that had just came out.
2009?
That makes sense. I can believe that.
It's been out a while.
Send us an email if you know.
It was originally announced. Wasn't it originally announced as a PS3 exclusive?
No, it was announced at Xbox because at the Microsoft conference, because I remember they made it a point to bring out Kojima on stage and be like,
Microsoft was like, hey,
which they did this year as
we're
well.
We're happy to, we're glad that you're bringing the legacy of Solid Snake onto the Xbox. And then Kojima was like, wait, I didn't say anything about Solid Snake. And then they show the big game, and it's like right good. In, and it's right in, and they're like, whoa, I'm excited for this. And then a year went by.
Wait,
and
so they kind of like set themselves up for a fall there where it's like, we're glad you're bringing Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. Or we're glad you're bringing Solid Snake. And he's like, no, the character that no one likes, I'm bringing him.
No, he said that. Like, well, I think
he went to PlayStation All-Stars.
I was going to say, and then 4, I'm pretty sure like 4 was Snake. Where they really, Metal Gear Solid 4 was like where they really tried to make Raiden a character that you could really like.
And I think people did like him more,
yeah, they
right?
liked him like, a lot more. Okay, mainly because it's like, we don't have to play as this guy. But
he wasn't too appealing in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, but Rising kind of went dark. 2010, they show a really like rough gameplay like trailer for it, and it looked kind of cool because
it never showed up.
And then
again.
They never showed anything again. And suddenly the game ends up in Platinum's hands. Ooh, Platinum, they made Bayonetta, and they've made what's the that shooter where you slide on your knees a lot.
Oh, Stranglehold?
Vanquish.
Vanquish. My yeah. bad. Stranglehold, no challenge with that.
Hey, man, you slide around a lot in that game.
You do. Oh, man, Stranglehold.
Dude, Vanquish.
You guys remember that game?
Yeah. But that one you were wet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Wow, all right. Yeah, wet. All right.
There are a lot of games where you slide around and shoot
like,
a lot.
Like, if I pulled that one out, like that, that's a game that, like, no one remembers from when that... Oh, sorry, I don't really like that game, but...
By then I had kind of lost interest in the game, but I felt like I needed to play it, and I was able to get it for cheap. Came out earlier this year, and I don't know if it's because I had such lofty expectations for it beginning, but I want to love that game. I only like that game because I feel like it's a very uneven experience. It feels like a game that was started by somebody and then picked up by another studio,
which is what happened. Finished,
which is exactly what happened. So, because there are weird, extraneous, like, parts, like, stealth parts in the game that don't really work with what the gameplay mechanics are, and they don't really make you do any sort of stealth in it, so you wonder why that option's even in there.
But maybe someone put that in before
there are sub-weapons, like, there. Like, I'll tell you an example. Early in the game, you, as Raiden, first of all, you play as Raiden in this game, if you didn't know. So you're a cyborg ninja, you're a crazy cyborg.
Rising.
Yes, you're a crazy cyborg ninja who has this high-frequency blade that can cut through anything, pretty much. And so early in the game, you fight a helicopter.
So you're just a big power fantasy.
Yeah, kind of. The weird thing is that they make it obvious that really quickly that you're very fragile. And in true Metal Gear fashion, they explain to you in like a 30-minute codec... conversation.
With
why?
Otacon?
No, with you get your own team of guys. Ryan okay. has his own team of guys. There's a man named Doctor with a K. Doctor. He's a German doctor.
That makes sense.
And he explains why you're so fragile, and it's because they didn't put a healing thing. They didn't put a healing capsule in your cyborg suit.
Seems like a good idea.
Because what they did put is that you can absorb. From other cyborgs, their healing units, so it's a lot faster just to cut them open, rip it out, and crush it in your hand to absorb it. That is the exact explanation in the game as to why
that's
it happens.
Metal Gear,
wow.
That's Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. Or Metal, that's just
so,
Metal Gear 4.
So early on, you're fighting a helicopter.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the...
Yeah, you know, like you do.
That's the sub-weapon tutorial where it says you can pull out a rocket launcher. If you pick up a rocket launcher, you can pull it out and shoot at this... helicopter. And that seems like a good idea at first until you realize you could just climb up this pillar, jump at the helicopter, and slice it with your sword, and that's a lot faster and feels a lot cooler than just pulling out a your sub-weapon and shooting at this helicopter, which does, like, not any damage.
Because you're, like, in regards to swordplay, you're basically, like, Sephiroth, right? Where you can cut through anything?
Pretty much. Because what happens is, that's another thing, is that you're, you have a fuel gauge, and basically they tell you about this too. As you're attacking guys, they explain this in detail. As you're attacking guys, your fuel gauge is going up because your high frequency blade is absorbing electrolytes from the enemies as you attack
them. Hey man, I get that from Gatorade. What's up?
And then once it enters into a certain amount of zone, you can enter in this blade mode. Which basically,
is there an explanation for this too?
It just is you focusing all your energy tanks into the high frequency blade. So basically, you enter this blade mode, and it locks you in place. And in this mode, you can basically just cut through anything. If there's a soldier in front of you, you can literally just mash on X and move your stick down, and you can just cut him.
At any angle
and just cut.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that in some trailers,
that was like
video
some of
stuff.
The earliest demo stuff.
Yeah, that was the selling point early on.
I think didn't they try to incorporate
turn
six axis
sushi
at one point?
I don't know. This game seems to prove for me that, as always, I like hearing about Metal Gear games way more than I like playing Metal Gear games. This is just hilarious in every single way.
I don't know. I would really like to play Metal Gear Solid 5, though.
We'll get to that later. Or you can hide on a horse.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, is that a horse with a saddle walking past? Nah, there's no one on that horse.
Why should we? What's up with that? Someone should check that out.
Nah, man. We ain't got time for that. You see anyone on the horse? There's no one on the horse.
You know, people usually ride on top of them. Nobody on that.
No one on that helmet.
You guys are hating.
I think that's a wild saddle horse.
That game looks awesome.
I really want to play.
No, that's just that one.
That's
just that one part.
I really want to play the Phantom Pain. Mainly because it's, again, Big Boss, and that's, like, my Metal Gear.
I don't want to play it, but I want all you guys to tell me about everything about it.
So, regardless,
After it's played.
So, the fights basically come down to this. You're fighting against guys.
And you're slashing and hacking.
And you're slashing them, and basically you're trying to mitigate as much damage as you can until you can enter in blade mode. Because once you enter in blade mode, if you can line up a slash with a guy's, like, central zone
cyborg heart.
Their cyborg heart, you can grab their unit out of them and crush it, and that automatically refills all your fuel and all your health. So they kind of mitigate that by making you pretty fragile. And also, there's no dodge in this game, and there's no proper block in this game.
You're a cyborg ninja. You can't dodge?
No, it's really odd. You can enter in this weird... That's another thing, is because you can enter into this weird ninja run mode where you can platform
and
mantle
modes are in
over this... You know, everything's just called a mode, I guess.
Is there a beast mode?
No, sadly, there's not. Where you can just mantle over everything and, like, jump over everything without having to, like, physically jump over it. But it doesn't really have a role in combat. It's really difficult to dodge, and how you block is there's no proper block button. What you have to do is you have to...
Oh, you attack at the same time as they do, right? I think I heard that, right?
Yeah, you see where an incoming attack is coming from. You move into the direction of their attack and hit the light attack at the same time, and you parry the attack instead. But the problem is that during an attack string, you pretty much have to leave your stick in a neutral zone and then move to that side to parry, or else it's just going to continue your attack
doing
string.
Attack.
So it's a really weird way to handle that sort of stuff.
It's no Arkham City free flow.
Definitely not. And I feel like
you know what's funny about that Arkham City free flow is that's been going for a while, and there's been so many games that have emulated Batman in terms of just general combat since that game came out, and it feels like no one's really caught that, like, you know what I mean? It seems weird that only they've managed
also,
to get
break
that.
It down. It's pretty simple.
It's
the
really
free flow.
Simple. The
but it can also get pretty deep as well.
Well, yeah, it has the ability.
Multipliers up and different
variants, bonuses.
But this game's not going for that Arkham City combat, though, is
no,
it?
No, no. It's full on. Well, it's full on.
It's not very Metal Gear compared to, like, I mean,
it's not
the back
Gear
of the box?
Solid. It's Metal Gear Rising.
What was the back of the box quote?
It pretty much the back of the box said that I could actually go and get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll get it for
go
you.
Go get it. But it pretty much tells you that this isn't a Metal Gear game. Like, so
well, not like you've ever
mad.
Seen.
Yeah,
like,
so don't be mad.
You guys looking for stealth? Nah, probably
yeah,
not
here.
Here's
what it says. It says, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance marks a departure from Metal Gear Solid's stealth formula with the birth of a new high-speed action game featuring the cyborg ninja. Quotes, Raiden.
End quotes.
And end quotes, yeah.
So that's...
So it's pretty
like,
much
it's
saying...
Like, no, it's not Metal Gear Solid.
This isn't a stealth game, so don't be mad when...
When there's a cyborg ninja dancing around the screen.
Which you want to say, oh, well, people know what this game is, and they're... No. Like, I've seen so many people on forums just be like, this isn't a Metal Gear game, this sucks.
Yeah.
Which...
It's a Platinum game.
I feel like if you want your hack and slash fix, I'd say there's better options out there. Bayonetta, get the new Devil May Cry, Castlevania, Lords of Shadow 2 is coming out later this year. That's also from Konami.
Indeed. It's interesting. They're trying to like make this a new. I mean, it's Metal Gear Rising. It's
yes.
not Metal Gear Solid.
Yes.
So it's like
they're trying to make a new series
in the same universe. Kind
and
of.
And I think it can work. I think if they Platinum starts from the ground up with this next title, it can be really good because there's really great elements in it. There's the same old kind of Metal Gear craziness in it. There's some really fun scripted segments. There's a segment early in the game where you fight a Metal Gear Ray, and it attempts to slash at you with its giant 30-foot arm, and you block it with your sword, and then grab it, and then toss the Metal Gear Ray away, and then you run up a clock tower, and you do a bunch of crazy stuff.
Again, I just love hearing about
it.
It's just wonderful.
And those moments in the game are a lot of fun. The problem is that a lot... The third mission in the game has you in a sewer system and forces you through a lot of arbitrary but unnecessary stealth sections that just don't work to what the game's strengths are. And so,
yeah,
it's a real mixed bag. It's kind of the definition of just uneven all over the place.
It seems like it doesn't really have a focus.
Yeah.
Like the target audience isn't there. They're trying to create one.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if they really... It didn't succeed, obviously.
I mean, now, it's... I wouldn't have recommended it at the full price because I beat it in probably... I got an achievement for beating it in less than 8 hours. So
yeah.
I beat it in like 6 to 7 hours. So.
Wow, you're fast.
Was it... It seems like the a lot of the fun of this game comes from the Asura's Wrath-esque.
Yeah,
the crazy Japanese anime of like cyborg ninja with a sword that can cut through anything,
and jumps around, throwing
giant robots and running up clock towers.
Yeah, it's almost disturbingly cathartic when you do enter that blade mode. And you aim for that vital spot, and then you miss, and then you say, oh, I missed, so let me just cut this guy, like, 5 more times, and you're just seeing this man segment into, like, 6 different pieces.
But it's okay, he's a cyborg, so
yes,
it's not...
Absolutely.
It's
they
not,
make a, they kind of make a point of saying, like, hey...
These aren't people.
Yeah. Take it easy.
So we want to...
What about his heart?
It's a cyborg heart. It's a robot.
Oh.
It's a
robot. So his soul is
a robot.
Let's get into the deep more. You're really trying to make a deep message here.
No,
right?
This isn't a Philip K. Dick story. This is not.
No, there are definitely tons of ridiculous.
This is not Isaac Asimov writing
that you're saying about, like, oh, it's like a sword's wrath. It's crazy. Isn't Devil May Cry, the new one, like just as crazy and kind of the same way? So,
but this is also,
I've heard that.
This is tons of conspiracy theory,
oh,
political
yeah.
This is your Kojima.
There's your Metal Gear hook.
Real life.
Nanomachine Sun.
Oh, man. I don't want to spoil that part for anybody, but...
Nanomachines.
Hey, if you have any interest in
Metal Gear,
just play it. It'll take you a weekend to beat.
All right.
But anybody else... there are better hack and slashes out there.
And that's it. Does that wrap it up for Metal Gear?
Yes.
Rising?
Yes.
All right, cool. So now I get to talk about The Last of Us.
Oh, yes. No.
Actually, I've also been playing Rogue Legacy, which is a little indie game that we played earlier. We did a video of, so if you want to hear more about that, if you like roguelikes or roguelites, go check that out. That video, watch me playing that game very badly. And
come on, man.
It'll be out.
It's hopefully. Not that bad.
And it's a fun little indie game, $15 on Steam and for PC, I think, just right now. But they might be porting it to other machines. I don't know what's going on. But so check that out if you want to see that. But The Last of Us is an amazing game. I've been kind of chewing through it real slowly.
It's hard to get through, man. I turned it on last night, and I was like, all right, I'm going to play this. And then I just sat on the loading screen. And then
that's when you just take an Animal Crossing break.
I think that's pretty much actually what I did, or I started editing videos.
That's
or
what
something.
I did when State of Decay got too stressful.
Yeah.
It's just grim. Like, there's just nothing that's like.
Not a lot of hope there.
I mean, like, I'm still early in the game, so it you know where it's going. Like, you know it's going to be a grim story. It's like The Walking Dead. Like, even at the end of the first episode of The Walking Dead, things weren't the worst ever. But you knew. Come on. Like, you knew that by the end of the fifth episode, it was going to be bad. And so, like, the part that I'm at is still fairly early in the game. And nothing, like, there's been some bad stuff that's happened, actually. You know, there's been some characters who have been hurt. I'm not going to say anything more than that. But they're kind of coming out of it and going, okay, let's go. We're going to go on this. And you just know. Like, you know that it's... Like, nothing bad has happened, really bad has happened yet, but you just know something.
Someone's
gonna
not
going to
make it.
Yeah.
But the game is amazing. The game is really good. And I've heard the gameplay can get a little... The gameplay itself is probably the weakest part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I'm enjoying it, but I can see... Like, I can see myself... Like a while from now, getting tired of it because of like the kind of the sequence of how it goes, like the way the stealth works and things like that. I mean, it's well done. It works fine. It's not broken in it by any means. But you can kind of see like that's not the strongest part of the story. Is really the characters are really where it's at. And the first 10 minutes of that game will sell you on that game.
Yeah, if you like
sadness.
Oh, man.
The drama of that is really good.
Also, it definitely has probably the best graphics I've seen come out of a console.
Oh my goodness!
It looks completely amazing. Better than some of the next gen stuff we've been seeing at the E3.
Yeah, I need to get a closer look at some of that next gen stuff. Yeah. But
yeah.
Oh my gosh, great. It looks amazing.
I mean, to be fair, most of the parts that look really, really good are pre-rendered cutscenes, but like they're cutscenes.
They're cutscenes.
So they have like the best.
They're pre-rendered,
but they're at least pre-composed,
yes.
So to get the best frame rate, well you know they have the motion capture.
But
stuff.
The in-game stuff.
No,
looks
the in-game still
too.
Looks pretty good.
I mean,
the in-game cutscenes. Just...
Now here's my question then, because I think the big reason why I haven't really played it yet is that we're at the end of the console cycle.
Yeah.
Is it $60? Is it a
$60
game at this point?
Yes.
Now?
Yeah, I think it's a $60 game. Like, I mean...
And the multiplayer is probably pretty good.
If you have a
PS3,
I mean, I'm not saying you should go out and buy a PS3 for this. I mean, that's up to you. I think I've known some people who have kind of done that.
We know some.
Really?
Yeah. Not just for this game, but they bought a PS3 and this game.
There's also many great games on PS3, like Journey.
Yeah. But I would... Like, if you have a PS3 already... Yeah, you've got the PS4 and Xbox One coming out in the fall.
Right.
But sure, you know, you got a while. You still got 3 or 4 months before then. I'd say $60 right now. It's totally worth it. And there's just some really great, like, intelligent design stuff in that game too. I mean, like, so the intro is, like I said, really, really amazing. There's just the way the enemies work. Like, bad guys are like. Are tough to beat, and
mm-hmm.
like facing more than one at a time is very hard. In fact, it's like almost usually you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So like if there's more than like three dudes, or if there's more than two dudes, it's like
you
want to
go around
really
as opposed
tough.
To through.
Yeah, well, you sometimes you have to go through though to get like what you're doing. Like there are a couple parts where the game says okay, you have to beat these enemies to go on. But even without that, there are still parts like where if you want to be able to explore every room in this area, there's like stuff in there, there's loot in there,
mm-hmm.
there's stuff that you need to go forward, or like you'll need you know, there's ammo and things. You can go around, but you're going to miss all that stuff, that kind of thing. And then, but if you go through, you're going to have to fight some enemies. There's one-hit kill enemies, which sounds really cheap. And the first time I had an encounter with them, died about four times in a row before I passed through. Wow. Until I kind of learned what to do. There's the normal zombies in the game, and then there's what they call clickers, which are like much more advanced stages of the infection, so to speak, because the infection is a fungus, is like a spore.
It's kind of like based on real life.
Yeah, there are parasitic fungus in the Amazon, which
planet Earth.
They zombify ants. Right?
Yeah, zombify ants. But they just kind of horrifying. The ant.
No, they take control of them for a little bit. But they make them go crazy.
Eventually
they die.
Yeah. Whereas in this game. Well, actually, you know, in this game, I think they do kill the humans, too, eventually. But, like, for a long time, they're still up and running and fighting. The second stage has, like, this big old, like, you know, like, the normal ones look like humans who are just, like, zombies. And these ones are, like, have, you know, this giant fungus-shaped head that's just kind of, like, mutated them. They're blind. They have no eyes because the fungus is eaten through, most of their head. But they hear sound, obviously, and they're very receptive to sound. You have to walk a lot slower around them than you do around other creatures, and they're one hit kills because if they hit you, then you're infected and you die. So you have to sneak around them, find ways to stealth kill them, or make sure that there's only one left so you can just shoot it and be done. Your AI partners are pretty good about shooting enemies. They won't attack anybody until you get seen. At that point they'll start killing people. And obviously there are a lot of like survivors that are, you know, that are your enemies as well, like enemy gangs and things like that that are out there. But there's this one sequence, just stuff that mixes up the gameplay, stuff that's cool. I mean, there's chase sequences and things like that. And there's one where you're in this town. There's a bunch of traps in the town. Set up by this one survivor who you're trying to find, actually, but he set a bunch of traps mostly for the zombies. Mm-hmm. And you open a door and one goes off and you get dragged by the leg upside down, counterweight style, and the weight falls down and you're upside down hanging on the ceiling and the entire game is upside down. So now everything's upside down. And Ellie, who's the girl, is down there trying to cut the rope or get you unstuck. And, you know, this big loud noise has occurred, so all these zombies now are running towards where she is, and you're hanging from the ceiling upside down, so you gotta try and move aim and fire, shoot these guns while the entire screen is upside down. And then, like, a couple other things happen in that sequence which make it, like, you know, which actually affect gameplay in some cool ways. And that's just some cool stuff like that that is kind of neat. And then, you know, there's like I said, there's a chase sequence right after that part. And
I mean, if Naughty Dog knows how to do one thing, it's how to frame and do cinematic style.
It's very cinematic. And like
gameplay sequences.
The acting is amazing. Both the voice acting and the motion capture. I've never seen such realistic characters in a video game before. Even L.A. Noir, I don't think was as good. It's really tough. Like the L.A. Noir faces were probably more detailed and realistic in that sense, but I feel like the emotions captured in this one are better. Mm-hmm. So and they're all, I believe, all the voice actors did the motion capture.
I believe that's right.
I don't know for certain.
I want to say that's how Naughty Dog.
Well, you know
does
what?
It.
But they might not have for Ellie because the girl playing her is like in her 20s or something like that.
Yeah.
But she's way really short. She's supposed to be like 14. So maybe they actually had a girl.
I'm trying to think because I've seen the actor Troy Baker next to her.
And they're about the same size.
I want to say she's like around his chest height or something. She's pretty short.
Oh, wow. She's short? Okay.
Yeah, she's on the shorter side.
Then maybe they just did that then.
I don't know. I wouldn't know. Don't
find out. Email us.
Email us.
that's our new motto. So, The Last of Us, highly recommended. I think that everyone should play it, even if they don't want to buy it. Email us. Oh, right. That email.
Castle?
We got mail.
We got mail?
Yeah, mail.
Did? I don't remember this.
This was a while ago.
We
want to give a shout out to those who do email us.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to do emails now? I mean, right in the middle? Or do we want to talk about news?
Yeah,
what's going on?
I think we should talk
about... There's just chaos going on.
I will pull up the email for later. But
should we take a break?
Should we do a break?
Take a short break and then come back with emails and news?
Let's do that. News and emails and news on after the break, after this. this. And we're back. Ethan had to finish his food. And we're back. All right, now we're back.
Yeah.
All right, what's up? So we had a little break there. We're going to talk a little bit about news. Obviously, the big news is a few weeks ago we had this little convention, you know, you might have heard of it. It's called
E3.
It's called 3Es.
What do they stand for?
Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Not what I would have guessed.
Elks easily evacuate.
I would have said, everybody, excellent eggs.
I love eggs. That's actually what it stands for. I love eggs.
He was sitting here the whole time, by the way, Ethan.
Ethan,
that
was me.
That being said, so it's our
some games got announced, some consoles got announced,
some
prices got announced, some other prices that were lower than the first prices got announced. Some games that could be shared, some games couldn't be shared, and then a week later, all games could be shared, and everything was fine again. We swear.
Yes.
Conexo was watching.
What we're referring to here is the Xbox One, which I still think is a confusing name, by the way.
Yes.
And the
you mean
PS4,
the one.
PlayStation 4.
The one.
Don't call it that.
The
is
one.
Is that what people are calling it?
No.
That's what people are calling the Xbox One.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
they called it
the 360.
Let's just call it
the one. That way, that'll sound great.
They're calling it the Xbone.
Yeah, I see that a lot.
I've heard that more.
When I worked at GameStop and you had to like abbreviate, you know, yeah, on the price tag, whether it was PS3 or it was XB360. So now it's going to be XBONE.
Yeah, Xbone.
So it looks like Xbone.
I would say XB1.
But the problem is that
Xbone's fun to say.
The problem is the other day you tweeted out something and you mentioned XB1. And for like a second, I was like, "Why is he talking about the original Xbox?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, he's talking about Xbox One."
Because I don't like Xbone.
But you put like XB and then the number one.
Yeah.
But it's like I associate that with the first Xbox.
That was to save characters on Twitter because I was almost at my.
Just do what I do and just write 50 tweets in a row. Just put dot 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 at the end,
and then the beginning of the next one dot dot dot.
That being said, despite the confusion, I think it's a good name.
It's okay.
The only thing is, you know, it's called the Xbox One because they want it to be your one central device for all of your entertainment. They want to own the living room.
Except it's not a DVR.
And it doesn't play 360 games, so it's not backwards compatible. So it's like you can have your Xbox One, but if you have an existing Xbox
library. If you don't have an internet connection, we have an excellent product for you. It's called the
Xbox 360. Which was a horrible way to comment.
That was a great
Don Matrick?
That was Don Matrick.
Who is now with Zynga.
Is that official?
Yeah, that's official. It has been made official.
That's so weird.
That is very weird.
But I'm not
going to
get
if you don't like Farmville, we got a great product for you. It's called...
That's okay, because it's
I don't know actually what their other products are.
Words with friends.
You don't like paying. If you don't like paying every 5 seconds to get your plants to go, we got a great product for you. It's called Words with Friends.
Anyway.
We'll workshop that later.
I'm pleased that they
changed their policies. Yeah, so we might be talking about this in the future, perhaps on a video series. That's one of the things we've been considering. The whole used game thing, I think we shouldn't get into that there because it's a really long conversation, I think.
And it's late.
I think that there were some interesting things that they were trying to do that they did not pitch to the consumers as a pro-consumer thing from the very beginning.
Yeah, horribly communicated, like not reported at all. Some of the things that we could have gotten.
And if they had come out and said, like, every game is digital, so you don't have to go to the store to buy it. Hey, look at all these cool things that this is going to do for you. You just sign into your account no matter where you are, and you get your game. And it's like, but then they just did it as, oh, here's all the things you can't do with your games that you've bought. And that makes people go, I don't like that because I want to be able to do whatever I want in my games.
Who thought of that as like being a good strategy?
I really don't know.
I don't know who their PR or messaging team
You know, it might not
was.
Even be that. It might be just that
game website saw the bad stuff and then reported on, like, wow, this is all stuff you can't do.
Well, a lot of those Xbox people probably were, like, shaking their heads like, we can't do this. And Microsoft is like, no, this is the future.
Probably.
Yeah, that's I talked with Matt a little bit over on Twitter, and just where it felt like this is how they projected the future this generation of consoles was heading. And they were like, this is where we're going to draw the line. And we're certain Sony is going to do something similar, like that. This, because we're going to try and wrest control away from, you know, the used game stores and all that stuff. But then Sony was like, no, I don't want to do that. We're not going to do that. No. We're not going to shoot ourselves in the foot.
Or that Sony waited to see what the reaction to Microsoft's would be. And
it's not time.
Because E3, that definitely came across in their press conference of like, it was. I heard someone say this too, by the way, of like, there was a Microsoft's press conference was Microsoft stabbing themselves in the stomach repeatedly and then falling over like in a pool of blood as everyone like jumped on them. And then Sony was like, we're not going to stab ourselves. And everyone goes, yay. And you know, if you actually think about it, Sony's not, they're not doing anything. They're not doing
anything. They're charging for PlayStation Plus to make it required to play online. Exactly. So they actually went back a little ways, but they didn't go so far back.
And the internet burst into cheers and applause of like, everything's the same. Yeah. And it's like, yay!
And it was really funny. Like,
you know what that means, guys, is you're not going to be able to get your cheap games anymore on like Steam does. Like, it's going to make it a lot harder.
Yeah, they talked about how we're not going to require there to be all this DRM and stuff like that, but we're going to also leave it up to, you know, which is already in place.
So I think people who are doomsaying about that aspect of it also should like, oh, like everyone's like, there's like almost a reverse bandwagon for Sony saying like, yeah, but they're allowing anyone to do DRM. Well, so is Xbox and Sony right, like, you know, PS3 right now. Mm-hmm. There's no publishers doing that because then they would be very obviously, you know, targeted as a bad publisher and wouldn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, EA tried some stuff. Ubisoft tried some stuff on the PC, and it didn't work well at all for them. So I think that the publishers don't want to do it. They wanted Microsoft and Sony to do it for them, and Sony at least said no, which then caused Microsoft to back down as well, which is crazy because now they have to, like, that entire thing, they talked it up from the beginning of how it was built around this entire concept.
Yeah.
And, like, there's some poor engineers there who have, like, done their job as it was requested of them and built this giant infrastructure and now have to go, like, no, all of that's going away and build something new instead to make it work.
Better to catch it now, though, than later. Because had they kept it, it would have failed before it got started.
That's kind of the weird thing is I feel like Microsoft just jumped the gun. Like, I know they're probably going to turn into all digital games, probably next generation. Yeah. But this was not the generation to it. People were not ready for that.
If it didn't, definitely. They tried to push the future as opposed to let it. Like, Sony's going to have digital day one releases too. You know what I mean? Like, Sony's going to have, though, that option for you if you want it. Mm-hmm. And so will Microsoft. So it'll probably just happen naturally, just like with computers. Like, computers come with CD drives, but these days you can get them without CD drives because no one really uses DVDs or CDs anymore, you know? So, like, get digital downloads for pretty much everything. That'll probably happen with consoles eventually as well. It just seems like, they jumped the gun and they didn't pitch it as a good thing. Mm-hmm. They just told you what you couldn't do. And I think if that console didn't even have a disc drive on it, then that problem would have been mitigated by a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it wouldn't necessarily have gone away. Like, I feel like it probably still would have happened, but like, if someone's like, why can't I just put my disc in and have it work? Mm-hmm. Well, if there's no disc drive on it, that question's never going to be asked in the first place. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? You're just going to download every game, and you have, and then you just say you download every game, and that's it. You know what I mean? And someone might still be upset about those things that happened. But, like, you wouldn't be able to go, but there's a disc drive. Why can't I just put my, but no one complains about that.
Just everything else about the
true. But you have to, not just the console makers, but also the publishers need to be careful in regards to their used game policy, because GameStop has 60% market share on the sale of AAA titles like Call of Duty. You know, you don't want to get on their bad side, you know, and because if GameStop cannot sell used games anymore, they're done.
Yeah.
Easily. There's no margin to be made on new game sales. There's no profit margin. So,
and like I can understand. I had a talk with somebody about this recently who was perhaps a bit more close to the developer side of things. So they lean more in that direction of, and you got people like Cliff Bleszinski of formerly of Epic, coming out really in favor of that Microsoft DRM, and then you know receiving a ton of crap on the internet for it, obviously, because the internet is a giant big hype machine.
Yeah, Cliffy B became kind of demonized fairly quickly and unjustly.
I mean, he's trolling
because that's his personality.
Yeah, he likes to just egg people on, but there is a reason for people wanting to cut out used games, and as much as the internet likes to yell about it, it's not solely to screw over consumers. Mm-hmm. That's not real. It's more that they want to screw over GameStop and places like GameStop.
GameStop's making hand over fist, basically not giving really anything
back. Right. The problem is in the process that the consumers get caught in the crossfire. Right? Yeah. It happens in the reverse direction too. When you trade your almost new game in for like $10 and GameStop turns around and sells it for $55. You know what I mean? Like they're screwing the consumer over in that sense as well. The difference is that I have a choice to go sell my game to GameStop.
Yeah.
Whereas if with this Microsoft DRM, I had no choice in the matter of if I could sell my game or not. That was completely beyond my control.
And I don't buy a whole lot of used games anyway. This part of the argument probably wouldn't have affected me as much. But the I have bought a used game before. Like, for example, like the Assassin's Creed series. Mm. You know, and there's like five of them like on 360 now. Like, I bought the first one used because it was a series I wasn't familiar with. I didn't really know about it. It had been out for a while. It's one of the older Xbox titles, you know. But I was interested in the series. It was right before 2 came out. Mm-hmm. 2 looked interesting. Played the first one, liked it enough to where I was going to pre-order the second one. And even though Ubisoft didn't get their full $60 for that first Assassin's Creed game, it turned me on to the rest of the series where I paid $60 day one for each Assassin's Creed game that followed.
You can also argue, though, that, say, on Steam, you can get games really, really cheap, arguably way cheaper than pre-owned games. And then get inducted that way, and the developer makes money.
True.
The
developer gets
most of that money. But you can't ever sell that back if you're ever done with it.
That's true, but it's so cheap.
That's the benefit of Steam has done what Microsoft, you know, should have done. And to be fair, Steam sucked when it launched, and people didn't like it when it launched. And maybe you could defend Microsoft with that defense. But Steam has made people be okay with giving up that right.
They have a track record.
That right to sell your game.
Microsoft,
they've made that an option that people are okay with losing. It's like, you know, the transition from CDs to iTunes. Like, Apple offered a solution that was better than piracy for a lot of people because it was, you know, I can click one song and not buy the whole album for the one song I want, 99 cents, or now it's like $1.29, but it's still, you know, that's so cheap. I just click one button, it's in my library, and boom, it's on my iPod in like a couple seconds. Mm. You know what I mean? And it makes it more convenient than pirating the game. And Steam does the same thing with games of like, sure, I can't sell that iTunes song and I can't sell, or I can't, you know, get rid of that Steam library game I bought, but it's more convenient than me going and pirating the game. And so if developers want to go and stop people from buying used games, make it, or stop people from pirating games, which is another thing, another reason for all this DRM stuff, then they should make it more convenient for us to do so, because that's the best way to get people to do it in the first place, is rather than forcing them, dragging them into that concept, to just say, hey, look, it's cheaper for you, it's easier for you, you don't even have to do anything, you just like, it's just make it easier.
Let's talk about the other taboo now then, the always online in order to play.
It actually is a little bit of a misnomer, because it wasn't always online.
Well, it had to check in every 24 hours.
That's basically always online.
Which is basically always online, but it is a distinction to make, because people were saying, again, the internet hype machine freaked out and goes, what if I lose connection during my game? Well, that's fine. It just has to check in once a day.
Yeah.
But you know.
But here's the issue: is what about all our servicemen overseas who have no, you know?
They said they would have a solution. They did say they would have a solution for that. Which probably only added, I think, more fuel to the fire, because then everyone was like, wait, so it is, you can actually physically do it. You can actually run an Xbox One without an internet connection, or
but you're
whatever.
Taking away our choice.
Yeah,
to
but
do
you're just
it.
Not.
People
yeah.
just don't like. Yeah, people just don't like change like that. There's always going to be some uproar. I mean. There's no way the thing, my real problem with it is not the fact that what they're doing, it's how they were doing it. If they did it any other way, it would make me feel that Microsoft actually cared, but they have not had, they had this kind of this mentality that we can do whatever we want. People are going to love it. It's going to be great. This is going to be the one system you want to buy.
It's hubris.
Like, yeah, and I, because they're a little bit on top on this generation, and I feel like...
They were, for me.
Yeah, because, and because, you know, that's the same kind of aspect, I think, that comes into their whole... self-publishing of indie titles, like how they don't allow self-publishing of indie titles, you know what I mean? Like, kind of just like, our system is the best, it works, we're good. Yeah. And
it's like, Xbox Live is the one that people, like...
Yeah, and Xbox Live Arcade trumped the PSN in terms of, especially in terms of indie titles for a majority of this generation. Mm-hmm. Like, they're, like, the downloadable
Arcade
games that you want, like, they were all on Xbox Live, most likely.
Look how successful Minecraft became on it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, sorry.
Ricardo wants to know if he should get Minecraft.
Email us.
Send us an email. Anyway, should Ricardo get Minecraft?
Should we talk about games at E3 or what?
I don't know.
Well, let me ask you guys. Let me ask.
What?
Andrew, what console are you going to buy?
Well, before all this went down, I wasn't sure. Because I do have a group of a pretty consistent group of, you know, five or six guys that we all play online together, whether it's Dead Island or Halo or whatever.
Right.
And we've always played on 360. There is a PS3 in my home, but I don't really have anyone really to play it with.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the decision was, you know, I'm going to get what my friends get.
And most of them are not as deep into gaming as us. And therefore, we're kind of just like, all good, the new Xbox, kind
of. Some of them, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
like,
the case,
at least at first, I think.
Right.
Definitely, they were like, you know, I'm just going to get the new Xbox, whatever, you know. Whatever,
right.
Whatever.
But all of them were like, and I would have never thought this because they were so against Sony and, mm-hmm. you know, everything. They were just Xbox guys, no matter what, you know, almost blindly, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, but all of them were like considering the PS4, like when this whole DRM always online thing was going on. And we were, like, ready to, like, have a whiteboard and, like, have a meeting and, like, go through the pros and cons of each, you know, console and, like, make this huge decision. But now that this whole thing is kind of blown over, Microsoft has kind of, you know, learned from, mm-hmm. you know, their mistakes. It probably will be the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's $100 more still? I mean, that hasn't changed.
Yes. Yeah, because, you know, we're still familiar with Xbox Live and comfortable with
even
its
though
services.
You have to have a Connect on all the time?
You do not have to have a Connect
on.
Not,
I thought it was
on
all
the time.
No. It just has to be plugged in. It does not have to be on.
Still, that's kind of weird.
Well, here's the thing. Price-wise, too, like, here's the thing. Price-wise, like, yeah, it's opposed to $100 more. It's really only like $40 more because the PlayStation I is like $60.
I wasn't gonna buy that.
Yeah, but
yeah,
come on,
that's
no
the
one's
thing.
Buy that.
If I could buy the Xbox without the Kinect, I would. Yeah. You know that if I was being honest. So that being said, because the Kinect is actually better this time around and it actually works.
Well, you know, theoretically,
no proof of
there
that.
There hasn't been any
okay,
games.
Okay.
Their tech has been solid. But
theoretically, but let's take it on its own merits for right now because we don't know.
Because they said the Kinect would work too.
Well, okay, but here's the thing though. Because it comes packaged in the box, the install base is already going to be more so than the other ones. So there's more incentive there for people to develop for it.
True.
Yeah.
So there could be some killer app that we just don't know about yet.
Yeah, I think
Armored Gate 2.
But one thing that's
because theoretically, about it. Like Kinect is a revolutionary idea. The reason it got a bad rap is because it didn't work. It was broken.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like it, I, and no, there were no good games for it at all. And I, you know, who 360 was my console of the generation. Never owned a Kinect. Still don't care to own a Kinect.
Yeah, and the problem with the Kinect, even with the new one, I think is not going to change. And that's the fact that like the amount of actual games that you can make that are beyond like a dancing game, and like mm-hmm. Dance Central was really good. Like, and it used the Kinect to almost like it was really refined and the perfect. But other than Dance Central, I can't really think of a game that worked like that. That like
the Child of Eden game was a
Children of Eden,
pretty good.
Yeah. Child or is it Child?
I think it's Child.
Okay.
Child
of Eden. My bad. That one was good. Apparently, there's Fantasia.
Yeah, I was gonna say was
got
that
a lot of hype.
New one. That's by Harmonix.
Yeah, that's by Harmonix. I was gonna say, is that Fantasia game? Is that an X? Is that 360?
That's both. It's 360 and Xbox One.
Okay.
And right, and like, but like, these are all. But I mean, not but at the again. Same time, not that,
those
not
are all yeah, very similar. Right. Yeah.
Not that there were not games that, like, again, like, I'm not saying that there were no yeah. games that worked on the Xbox or right. on the
all
Kinect.
I'm saying, all I'm saying is the potential is there for things to change for Kinect. That being said, you know, like I said earlier, if I could buy it for $100 cheaper without the Kinect, I would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
But you know,
that's the way the cookie crumbles, man.
Yeah, it's we'll it's see. A tricky.
The biggest thing for me is just being able to play with my friends, and you know, we're all, you know. Comfortable with Xbox, our accounts are going to carry over. You know, it's less of a hassle that way. And
yeah, it's a tricky thing to parse to yeah. begin with. With I mean the whole Kinect thing. One thing that's interesting though is that Microsoft pushed the Kinect hard. Mm-hmm. Like they pushed it real Absolutely. Hard,
and it wasn't and bad it, for right. A while. It sold well.
And so the install it wasn't a lack of install base. I think that created a lack of games for that system. And here's the thing at E3. They didn't talk Kinect very much at all in terms of games.
Nope, just
and I feel like one thing
which
that
which was I think the smart
wise.
Choice,
which wise. Was definitely wise, but it seems like they're not even pushing it for games anymore. Like
well, they don't have to.
They
it's
pushed
coming
it.
With the system.
They pushed it so hard before. It's almost like they're pushing it more for the voice command and like TV related,
which is important. Those
stuff.
Are features that are setting it apart from the PS4.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, so Xbox. it's very
food.
Show it to me.
That's
see
when,
it on TV.
That's when it pulls up. No, that's when it pulls up
Xbox
the Domino's. Domino's, the Domino's delivery service
oh,
right on your TV.
Yes.
That's
get what I live want. Delivery tracking.
That being said, I am dreading.
Put it in a little window on the side while you're playing your game. The delivery
yeah.
tracker
yes.
like fills
but
in.
That being said,
someone
I
develop
am,
this app, please.
I am dreading when my friends start using the fantasy football.
Oh.
Thing.
You know, it,
they're already talking about it. Yeah. I'm like, oh no.
The funny thing about you know the whole
I don't want to be in the room when that happens.
The
bunch
whole,
of nerds.
I am no nerd.
Play real manly sports like video games.
Esports, bro. Ever heard of StarCraft? What's up?
Anyway,
continue.
So that's Microsoft and the Kinect and the DRM and the Always
Wait,
Online.
Wait, so what else? I wanted to hear what everyone's thinking.
Oh, you wanted to see what everybody's
yeah,
system
I just started
was?
With Andrew because I really had no idea.
I'll try and be brief. This generation might be one of the first where I actually wait a considerable amount of time before I choose
day
which
one. Day one.
No, I don't
day
think I'm
one,
doing day one. I might wait.
Yeah, that's the thing. Xbox is getting a few more, I think. AAA
exclusives. Yeah, Titanfall.
So that
true.
That is kind of a factor.
But Titanfall's not exclusive.
Well.
I want to say Titanfall is exclusive.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
People keep
yeah.
telling me that, but I'm not
no,
actually
no,
looking
Titanfall up. Is exclusive. Destiny is not.
Destiny's
yeah,
not.
Destiny's
yeah,
not.
Because yeah, Destiny they actually showed at the PS4 conference.
I'm definitely going to wait, but right now it's looking, one, like the initial push by Sony has won over so many of the people who I was going to play with. That I might just have to go PS4 if I want to ever play with like any of my friends ever again. And two, there's just price. I mean, this comes down to
$100 cheaper is a big difference.
It's $100 cheaper.
For technically more powerful
and
console.
Yeah, which actually it is more powerful in several ways.
And you're not dedicating extra
but you
RAM
don't have
to
the
that.
Infinite power of the cloud.
Yeah. Infinite power of the cloud.
Missing out.
And you can't watch TV with it. So what uses it?
And no voice.
Right.
No voice.
Command. Never mind. I want my ESPN app.
I do not.
Xbox Best. TV.
Xbox.
What about you, Matt?
Xbox.
Sports.
Live TV.
Considering, even though, you know.
Hey, who's hosting this podcast?
Well, I just want to know. I'm at. This is my question.
Yeah, this is.
All right. yeah, I'm kind of in Ricardo's boat, although I will definitely buy one of them on the first day.
Wait, that doesn't make sense.
You should for
no,
once
no, no, no.
Play
he's,
Xbox
he's,
with me.
Well,
you would actually play games
that would
together.
That would require me to buy Xbox Live, and
I'll get it for you for your birthday.
Cool.
Christmas.
All right, then
you're
Xbox
in. There we go.
All right, that's it. I'm sold.
Not the system, the membership.
No, I know, but
you just buy the membership. Oh, you want a PlayStation?
That
oh, whatever.
No. I mean, you know what's really dumb? Well, I mean, because I want to like again, like I think for a lot of us, I feel like we should try and have a good spread anyway because of what we want to do in terms of reporting on these kinds
yeah.
of things. So I feel like I want to get both consoles, and I probably will eventually get both. Not definitely both at the same time.
Cop-out answer. Which one are you choosing first?
But, no, I'm going to answer that question.
I'm waiting.
I'm going to answer that question. So because of that, and the PS4 is a very likely. I think that's what I'm going to do, PS4.
Yeah.
Because, it, again, the price is the cheaper, The console was technically more powerful, although that really is going to make a totally minor difference.
Same thing this generation with PS3 and 360.
Right, but this time they're both based off the same architecture, so they're not even...
Yeah,
like
there's no weird 8-cell processor
The reason the PS3 sucked because it had a really weird processor.
Even run Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they're both...
Speaking of Skyrim...
Who wants to
play it?
No, back to
Andrew,
me.
Andrew really likes Skyrim. Didn't you love Skyrim?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get as far as I should have, and we'll probably go back to it soon.
Yeah. Ricardo also really loves Skyrim a lot.
I love it.
Why you gotta bring this up, Matt?
I love it so much.
You hate Skyrim?
I just never have fun when I'm playing Skyrim.
That's fine.
Send us an email about what you think about Ricardo hating Skyrim.
All I know is I did some epic things in that game.
If you like Skyrim, you're right. I know I'm wrong.
I feel like
there's a part.
Doesn't matter.
That's just like your opinion, man.
You're
entitled to your opinion.
I honestly do think there's like a weird part of me missing, though, that doesn't get why I can't enjoy Skyrim.
No, I get it. Fallout. It's the same part that is missing for me, where I can't really enjoy Call of Duty, where I'm literally bored.
Maybe.
Like, when it's on the screen.
I think I'm missing that part as well.
I love Call of Duty.
No, you don't. Did you buy Black Ops 2?
I don't love Call of Duty.
I actually did buy Metal Gear Rising Revengeance because I wanted to play Zombies with
my game of show E3 2009 until just now. So shut up.
Fair enough.
Anyway,
let me talk about.
But that's different. You just enjoy Call of Duty. But anyway, back to the original thing, which was which one am I going to get first? PS4. Here's the thing, right? So I am a sucker. I'm a sucker for those like.
He's a sucker.
I'm a sucker for those like little exclusive things, like when like you sell a game, it's like the collector's edition is $10 more, and you get like this little trophy.
Yeah, that is true. Both Batman and Assassin's Creed is getting exclusive Sony content.
Yeah, and it's like this exclusive like little thing, and then the Xbox One has a Day One edition with a little thing on it that says Day One edition, and it's really dumb. And I don't,
Red Ring edition, more like
that's like me kind of caring that my Xbox Live achievements will carry over into Xbox.
Yeah. That's kind of what's like almost like it's really not. I don't think I'm actually gonna spend $100 because of that, but it's just like I'd have the Day One edition. No one else would have the Day One on the controller.
You'd have the holographic versus Charizard.
You get an achievement, I heard, as well.
You get an achievement on your... It says Day
it's
One.
It's forever linked to your
account.
I don't know. I feel like because you and I connect at a level that not many people do when it comes to video games, and yet we have never played a game on Xbox Live together.
But here's the thing.
Don't do it. It'd ruin your experience of him.
I don't... Hey.
I can...
I don't play many games on my console.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I buy the consoles to play the exclusive games for those consoles. Like Last of Us, for instance, that kind of thing. Whereas normally I'm playing on my PC. So I just don't, like, on my PS3, which I play more than the Xbox, I don't play online games on that either. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and so... Not that I wouldn't want to play a game with you, obviously,
right.
But that, it's, like, I bet you'd probably find me online not that often in the first place. So
if you buy an Xbox,
if you actually had it, you might be online more.
If you buy an Xbox, you'd have to buy the headset.
Oh, it doesn't come with one, but the PlayStation 4
does, which is a major flip because
it's opposite last time.
Yeah.
It's over.
You might as well just give up now, Microsoft.
All right, Ethan. Well, I just got a question. Hey, what system are you getting?
That was a well-worded question.
As fun as...
by the way, PS4.
There should be a cheaper SKU that doesn't come with Kinect.
I have a weird thing.
You do?
I really have a weird fascination with the Kinect. I just hooked it up yesterday and hooked up my computer and danced in front of it for a bit. Just to capture the motion of me just jumping around. So I was like, man, I wonder if this captures any better and better lighting.
I came home and there were lights all over the house, and then the Kinect was set up on the kitchen counter, and then there's this long USB cord going all the way into his room where his computer was, and then I'm like, what is going on? And then I go into his room, and there's a screen open with like an outline of Ethan like moving around on it, and then and he's sitting on the couch just like, no, he's not even doing anything with it anymore. But I'm like, what is going on?
At that point, I was dead. it's such an interesting piece of technology, and I watched that tech demo of the Xbox One.
Hospitals are using it
for science.
of their new Kinect technology, and it blew me away. It was amazing. Like, you can see your heart rate, and it just works better. And at nighttime, it can track everything. It seems like it fixes all science. The flaws of the Kinect. So that's really, really tempting to me.
And it can watch you when you're whenever you're doing things.
When we're doing things, check it out.
Minus spying on us.
Hey, no, hey, can I just say something? Can I just say something here? That I think that conspiracy theory about the Xbox One is the most ridiculous thing. Like, I feel like I can get, like, and this is someone who's not going to buy the Xbox One first, probably, by the way, everyone, and, like, is not an advocate of the Xbox One or the Kinect. I don't like the Kinect. I don't think it should be always plugged in. But the idea that Microsoft gives, like, any sort of crap about what you're doing in front of your TV screen.
I'm cooking my meth.
Like, that everyone's like, it's going to be watching you. It's going to be reporting on you.
Well,
Microsoft.
You know, the number one name. What? The number one name of gamer tags has, like, 420 at the end. So, I mean, everyone's going to be like, oh, man, the cops going to see me token up. They're going to come get me.
Like, why would Microsoft be recording you? Like, what on earth could they possibly be gleaning? Like, from the millions of users at the same time, like, someone's, like, sitting there going through all these videos of, like, people just sitting playing video games and, like, the one dude,
no, man,
like,
you see, they have keywords, and as soon as you say, smoke up, toke this, where the meth at? Someone says that.
As you can see, Ethan has done a lot of drugs. From his
then the popo will come. They will automatically just record
how
that.
How many pots have you smoked?
I know, man. I've been watching The Wire, man. I see how it is.
Omar coming.
Okay, so we change the subject.
Anyway, point is, that's really interesting. Like, I really want to play with that. I just want to hook it up to my. I actually just want to hook it up to my PC.
I am hopeful. I was and still am like a Kinect cynic in the sense that, like, I still have no desire to own it on my 360. But
there's no. I can't think of any good uses for that thing besides dancing games. I really can't. There might, except for the smart. Maybe it can see how you're reacting to certain things. I think that could be cool.
Put it into Microsoft, and then the government will just
I would just love a game.
He really likes Natty Light, man.
Remember when 360 smiles
every time that commercial
out?
Comes on.
Remember when 360 first came out and the Rainbow Six game was a big deal, and you could actually buy the camera to map your face to your character in multiplayer.
Oh yeah.
What? Where is that thing? What happened to that?
That was great.
That was
so dumb. It was fun.
But I mean, it was an interesting idea.
Yeah, it was great.
Do you guys remember HD DVD drive you could get?
EA did some weird stuff with that, like, here's a picture of you.
Tiger Woods.
Put your face in the game, and it didn't look like you, so.
Maybe this time it'll look like you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Anyway,
you know,
I'm gonna have
3DS is pretty good at that.
I'm going to have to choose the PS4 just because I own a Vita. And I really like the crossplay between that. And also, just the
PlayStation Plus.
The ridiculous amount of stuff you get with PlayStation Plus. I haven't bought a single game for Vita yet. And I'm still playing that thing.
Guacamelee.
Wow. Wait, that's a lie. I bought Guacamelee. But that's for PlayStation 3.
Oh, yeah.
I can use that excuse.
You're right.
As well as Sound Shapes, which I could play on either console that I choose, which is really cool. And they have frequent sales where those games are really cheap. PlayStation Plus just gives you discounts on everything. I don't know. I've been really happy with the service, and I really like the way the direction's going. There's a lot of great indie games coming out on PlayStation Vita. Hotline Miami just came out.
I feel like that's a great point. There's one noticeable shift, too, especially at the whole Microsoft thing of, like, a ton of indie devs rushing to PS4 to put their games out on that.
Like, and that's honestly where all my favorite games have been coming out. Like, I mean, sure, I like all, you know, the BioShocks and the Last of Us and stuff, but they're so big, they're going to be on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
Have you played Persona 4 yet?
Why would I play that?
Don't you want to spend 100 hours on a game experience of a lifetime?
It's not free on PlayStation Network, man. Regardless, the value is so good. And the ability that they're promising nearly every game on PlayStation 4 will be able to stream to your Vita.
Which
so I can sit in my bed
impressive.
And play that. That sounds awesome to play a full console game on a handheld.
Yeah. It's like having a Wii U tablet for your PS4.
That works.
Is.
I mean, it honestly, this is assuming I have a job at this point.
Right.
It might get me to get a Vita. Like, if I have a PS4, I don't see a reason why not to get a Vita.
Yeah, actually, you
also,
know what? That would probably make me want to get a Vita.
That's my problem
with
that. The whole Microsoft conference, it didn't seem like they had any care about gamers. While
PlayStation sitting on the bottom. They're like, we got to do stuff to get up. We're going to make all this, all these crazy things. We're giving out free games. Like, when people heard that, they're like, this is ridiculous.
Well, that's what I love about Sony's approach compared to Microsoft's is Sony was very...
very consumer-focused.
Well, very gamer-focused.
Yeah.
You know, Microsoft was like TV, sports,
you know, let's be fair here, though. Like, that was their first conference. Their second conference at E3 had a lot of games, but the problem was they couldn't get... They didn't reverse any of those old decisions or get over those old decisions enough. Like they actually have, I think, more exclusives in terms of in terms of the or at least upfront exclusives. Uh-huh. They're not like a lot of Microsoft's
launching first
on Xbox One. So they did a good job of actually showing games. Yeah. The problem was they couldn't get past that initial block they'd made for themselves.
Yeah, that's the thing is they had a lot. They had a really good conference, I felt like. Microsoft's conference at E3 was really well done.
At E3 was
really well done, basically because they had gotten all that other stuff out of the way already. And it was like, okay.
That's fair.
Sony's all right, Sony has
to... Sony came out guns blazing.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, Sony...
They're fighting, man.
They pretty much only had... they just don't have to shoot themselves in the foot, and they can have an okay conference, and they'll win. And but they not only just had an okay conference, then they really
all in
guns blazing, because like a lot of people were like no, like when Sony started talking about like all their movie stuff and all their other like other media things that weren't games at the conference, because they're like, what are you doing? Like, this is what we said we didn't want to hear about at the Xbox conference. But then like Trenton was like, hey, guess what? No.
it was pointed. It was sharp. Yeah. Like there were came out with a knife, like going from the throat on Microsoft, and like people ate it up, and like it worked in their favor. Of like, again, Microsoft didn't have a bad conference, but by pointing out all the flaws in Microsoft's strategy and saying we're not doing that, we're not doing that, we're not doing that, like it just made it look like they were so much better. Saying, oh, and by the way, we're charging for online multiplayer, and like, and you know, other than that, like, it doesn't really change much.
I feel like not too many people care about that.
It's also cheaper. PlayStation Plus is like $2 less.
$10
over here. There's still plenty of value there.
People don't care about it because, you know, it's the standard for Microsoft. Yeah. So, you know, you're not, it's not like you're paying more or like, you know what I mean? It's not like Microsoft.
It's not like it got worse.
Yeah. But it did for PlayStation users. True. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the funny thing is that like, It's very, very rarely can a company pitch something and like increase the price and not have people react negatively.
Actually,
like,
people clap for
it's very hard to do. Yeah, and they actually got people to clap for them.
Peter Chan Sony.
Yeah.
Weird. These are
everything's all topsy.
That was a great E3.
And
that was amazing.
And then Nintendo came out and was like, we got all Mario Kart and Mario and
they have
Zelda.
They have the most exclusives, man. If you're talking about exclusive games, the Wii U.
Can I just say how amazing it is seeing Mario Kart in HD?
Man, upside down, anti-gravity stuff.
Seems pretty...
I mean, I love me some Mario Kart.
It looks... I mean, it seems like something we should have seen like 5 years ago.
Definitely.
But like,
by the way, Nintendo didn't come out and say this. Nintendo had like a live stream, which did not work super well for a lot of people. And then Reggie was saying, "Play the game a lot," because that was the joke of the show.
Play the game.
Play.
I like how they were like
the game.
People say we are not at E3, but we are. And then he's like, "Here's the Nintendo E3 booth. People can take pictures."
We have proof.
That's what Iwata pointed out. He pointed out like that there was like a display where people could take pictures with the Pikmin, and people can take pictures jumping out of the pipe.
Mario pipe.
Mario, yeah.
Nintendo's just in this weird world where they can just like
they can do
whatever they want, man. People are gonna buy their consoles.
I don't know if they can. The Wii U has not been selling well.
Once they come out with some games, though,
did anyone see any games at E3 that'll sell that console?
Smash Bros. People will buy crazy for Smash Bros. So people will buy
Pikmin 3. I mean, they got some games in the lineup. I mean, they're so far spread, though.
Smash Bros. Is what I've been
just,
waiting for.
It seems crazy to me that this is almost a year out from that game's launch, and there is not one game that I should buy this console to play this game.
Wasn't that the same way with the 3DS, though?
A year. No, the 3DS was like 6 months, which is bad enough. Don't get me wrong. Sure. Bad enough, but like... It just isn't. Doesn't that seem weird? Like
no, it is.
Like I'm not saying that you have to. Like launch games are bad. Usually speaking, launch games not very good. And so I get that. But like it's been a year almost.
Hey man, the Vita had the same thing.
I guess let's say it's been like 8 months. So
yeah.
But yeah, it just seems crazy to me. It's rough. like.
But they.
Where's the game?
I mean, well, they need to. Here's the problem: is E3 was their shot to, you know, pull whatever has been in R&D out and surprise everyone, you know, whether it's the Zelda or a Metroid or something like crazy big or a brand new IP that's going to surprise everyone and sell the system. But they didn't do that, which this E3 they needed to, because this is the E3 where new consoles are looming.
Yeah.
And if Xbox and PlayStation weren't the competition with Wii before, you know, it was a different audience, you know, this is now where they need to stand out. Like they're competition now.
You but know, the thing, like even what they had Retro Studios come out and they're like, look, another Donkey Kong game, which looks cool, but
yeah, but like, everyone's like, wait, this is retro. Where's the
the really cool game?
Yeah, where's the crazy game?
They were
game?
Expecting something.
Their top tier developer.
And a lot of people love Donkey Kong. I love Donkey Kong, but
it's a great game. The Wii game was good. It was a good game.
It got very good reviews. But here's the problem: it's adding to the fatigue a little bit because they just re-released Donkey Kong Country Returns on the 3DS.
I honestly, way recently.
It doesn't look that good.
I don't think so.
The frame rate's pretty bad.
The frame rate's pretty bad.
What the heck?
I don't know.
For Snake Eater now, this...
The 3DS is just slightly not powerful enough to do what it wants.
I think that's the problem I have with... Like, a lot of people saw that press conference, and a lot of people were saying... Or not press... You know, Nintendo Direct, and then just E3 show forward, and Nintendo came out strong, they brought all their exclusives, and it feels really weird for me to say this as someone who's like just been a lifelong Nintendo fan and who bought a Wii U at launch and like solely
that target ground like, was so cold
that knowing that it wouldn't be a big console and like knowing that it didn't have any games at launch and even now 6 months later I don't really regret that purchase or anything like that.
But you haven't really been using it.
But I haven't used it. Yeah. I haven't touched it at all. And like I bought it just because I like kind of just like Nintendo at this point. You know what I mean? And
I've played so much Nintendo Land. I'm so tired of it.
And that game.
It's a great game, but.
And those games they showed were kind of like, here's some more of those games that you've played, like
for the last few generations,
like Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah, but that's the weird thing about it is that. But it's not even like for the past generations, because like Zelda is gonna come back, Mario is gonna come back. I get that. It's like here's a game that you played a couple years ago or like last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like
It's, you're right.
They're new Super Mario Bros-ing Mario 3D Land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like that's what that game is. Just that game is just that game again, but now on
the game
HD.
Has always
you're
been
not,
good, but it's
again
it's adding to that fatigue.
You're not
again.
Hearing
like
me,
they need to come out a Mario game that
Donkey
did,
Kong Country Returns.
Again. Yeah,
again
they
and
need
it's like
a Mario Galaxy or like a Mario 64, something that
just
differentiates.
New. Just like,
it.
I want a new Mario game. I'll buy a new Mario
back
game.
Like
I want a new, Mario
but yeah, not new Super Mario Brothers. New Super Mario Brothers. There's nothing new about it.
Or bring back. Like an older, forgotten
like
IP.
Kid Icarus is a great move.
Where's Star Fox? Where's Star Fox?
Yeah.
That would have been a huge thing.
Yeah.
Even like an imaginative new Kirby game.
Kirby's great because they use
Kirby. They use him like willy nilly.
They
like,
use him
to
as like
experiment.
They use him as like we thought of this random idea, but it doesn't fit with anything that we already have. Kirby.
Yeah,
Kirby can play it. You know, put it on Kirby.
Epic yarn,
and like the rolling game Canvas Curse
for
DS.
Canvas Curse on Wii U. There we go. We're done.
Or just
there
like,
you go. Free one.
Yeah, like a Star Fox game would be awesome on that. There's just I can't think of anything off the top of my head on that 3DS controller, but or on that Wii U controller. But there's you could do awesome stuff with
Star
that.
Fox.
Like, you know what I mean? Like you could have so many options.
Otherwise, I mean, because we're at the point now where Ubisoft is probably going to stop porting their games to the system. You know,
because they always do the launch thing, and then like at this point, there's no reason for them to do it anymore because it's so little.
Well, that it's probably easier to port from 360 to Wii U, like Assassin's Creed 3, than it is to go from Xbox One to Wii U.
Yeah, you go
from you know,
yeah.
But just, there's the thing, like, you mentioned the gamepad earlier. Like, what third party is going to really experiment mm-hmm. the potential of that besides a map screen?
I've pretty much already written off Nintendo's third-party support. I'm just going to wait for the Nintendo games. But
I mean, this is what happens every time, and every time they claim we're going to bring in so many third parties this time.
They're trying to do that, and they've made it possible for that to happen more so than ever before. But they're at the point now where the third parties just aren't going to want to.
Yeah.
Because their console didn't sell
enough. The thing is you can get it on... Like I was surprised to see there's an Injustice port on Wii U.
Yeah.
On Wii U. But I'm not going to play it on Wii U. I'm not going to buy it on Wii U. Because
all my friends are playing on 360. I don't
own a Wii U. But if I did... That wouldn't be my preferred system to play it on.
When you covered your mouth there, because you talked more into the microphone
The
thing about Nintendo is it feels like there's great ideas and people suggest them all the time, but they never listen. Where's the 3D Pokemon game? Like the real 3D Pokemon
where,
game?
Or yeah, where, like the
Skyrim Pokemon
Pokemon game. Snap, man, would work Pokemon perfect Snap. For the 3 Wii U.
There's
or
so
Mother 3.
Or, you I know,
mean,
but like...
I mean,
they could have. I feel the thing is just it's frustrating from the gamer's perspective because it's like you know they can have the whole control of all like not even all the market, but like a huge chunk of the market if they just start releasing franchises that people really really cared about instead of the Mario rehash again and again.
But it's not even just the Mario, but like I said, it's like the Mario game from last year. That's kind of what I'm getting at is that it's
that's
not
why I said
that,
rehash.
It's not that it's just Mario because we've had Mario before mm-hmm. a lot of times and. I liked Galaxy. I even liked Sunshine, which a lot of people didn't.
I liked Sunshine.
Yeah, I liked Mario 64, but they were all different from each other in noticeable ways. And
there was a reason.
Mario Bros. The first new Super Mario Bros. Was awesome. It was great.
It was like a must.
And
have
then
for
they
the
did
DS
it again on Wii,
out.
And like that was kind of fun. It's like okay, now you have four players and kind of like throw people in the lava, and that's got its own mm-hmm. charm to it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then we do it again like 2 years later, and it's like
on the
3DS. Okay, and then at the same time on the Wii U, almost directly after, and it's like
and now here's some more DLC for that game.
And then like here is New Super Mario 3D Land. Oh, cool! This is awesome. This is like going in a different direction. That game was good. Now here's New Super Mario 3D Land again on the Wii U,
but cat
that
suits.
Came out like a year and a half.
But cat suits.
And the, well, the rumor
you
was
can't dress, you, you cat suits.
And the thing is New Super Mario World. Or New Super Mario 3D Land, whatever.
3D World.
The 3DS one was actually really unique and a really great game, I think. Like
3D Land, yeah.
It was a great game. And then they're like, all right, we made one success. Let's just...
Thought of creative ways to utilize the 3D.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
And then same with Donkey Kong Country Returns. Of like, that game was great. Why do you need another one of those? Let Retro go do something awesome, because they've done awesome stuff before, but you're just going to have them make the same game again? Like,
was Retro Punch-Out?
No, Retro was Metroid Prime.
Who was Punch-Out? I don't know.
Nintendo second party studio.
Well, Punch-Out was great. Do another Punch-Out.
Well, a lot of the disappointment comes from, too, there was rumored that the new Mario was going to be a spiritual successor to Super Mario Bros. 2 or Super Mario Bros. USA, you know?
Oh, that would have been cool.
And the only similarity is that you have the four characters, Mario, Luigi, Peach.
And they do,
right.
and they do
different things. But
other than that, the world, the camera angle, everything else is 3D Land.
Can you throw radishes?
It looks exactly.
You cannot throw radishes.
Can you fly magic carpets?
No.
We're done. Okay. We're done. I'm out.
Done.
That and plus when I first heard the name too, I got excited. I was like, oh my gosh, is it like Super Mario World?
Which is one of your favorite games.
One of my favorite games, and it doesn't look like anything.
Guess what?
No. No. That's what bummed me out about Nintendo is that like it's not like everyone makes fun of them for redoing Zelda every time. Mm-hmm. You know, redoing Mario every time. Like I don't mind that. I mind that they're redoing Mario, but Mario from the one I just played. You know what I mean? Not even a new Mario game.
Okay, it's a new generation. What are they going to change with this new iteration? Like, it's a new generation. What are they going to do new with this new Zelda? What are they going to do? Now it's kind of just like, okay, we're just going to do the same thing.
Reuse
because
asset.
It's what apparently worked once, so we're going to do it again.
Right.
We need people to experiment again over there. Yeah. That being said, the new 3DS Zelda looks awesome.
Yeah, and the you know, and as much as it
those are the remakes I want to see.
As much as I just complained about the the remakes, the Wind Waker remake, which is not even any different at all. That's exactly the same game. Yeah. It's just nicer HD. I Wind Waker, as I've said it before, is one of my favorite games. My favorite Zelda game. So,
yeah.
I'm but that being but, said, I feel like it's.
So I'm just as much part of the problem as everything I've been.
But see, you haven't played Wind Waker in a long time.
Had them pick like Majora's Mask or something though.
Oh my goodness, I would so.
They really need to put that on 3DS.
Just because like I feel like Wind Waker, even if you play it on GameCube, like still looks good because it's like stylized, you know,
yeah.
Like the HD.
Seeing it widescreen.
Well, that's the thing. The widescreen looks really nice, and like it still looks really good. Like if I bought a Wii U, I'd be super tempted to buy. Even though I still own my GameCube copy of Wind Waker, I would be super tempted to buy the HD remake.
But that's what I mean. I want to see. I want to see the Majora's Mask being upraised because they really redid all the models and look great.
So while we complain about not wanting to play the same game again, we're
well,
also
here's the thing though.
We're not
backtracking at all because you said these are the games that we just played. Wind Waker, we played.
Yeah.
How many years,
10 years ago?
Not to mention they're not making any allusions that this is Wind Waker. They're not saying
Wind Waker 2.
Wind Waker 2.
Yeah, they're not marketing it as a different game when it's the same.
You could play two new songs.
The
on
new
the
Wind Waker 3D yeah. World,
which actually some people are disappointed because the Japanese version did have some extra sailing stuff that was left out of the US.
There's a way to speed up the sailing in this new one. They showed that off too. Like
and
they
there are a
couple like
touches
a,
that are different.
But
there are
some dungeons that were left out of the original Wind Waker.
I doubt.
No. They're not. They already said they're not going to be because they were actually reused in other Zeldas.
Ooh. Oh.
They used,
did they say which Zeldas?
I don't
probably
know.
Princess, I would guess. Is probably the next one.
Or Skyward Sword.
Anyway, so that's E3. That's a long conversation that we just had about E3.
Yeah.
Something that has never happened before. On the Pixel Legends podcast.
We had a long conversation about something. We meant to have a short conversation.
No, we actually got mail.
Oh, yes. Oh, right. Yes.
Remember that time you brought
that
up mail?
That happens all the time.
And I was like, don't bring up mail. And then he brought it up at the end. That's when you should bring it up. And now you're not even prepared.
So wait, then now or later?
That bring it up now.
When will
then
be now?
We're gonna do mail now.
Oh, wait, when?
Mail. That's the mail call.
I think we need a better mail call. I'm gonna put a sound effect in for mail.
Mail's here.
Okay, so we got one email from Aaron.
Shout out Aaron Lee, my buddy, my friend.
Yeah, so he.
Who I actually know.
But we didn't ask him to send his email in, just so everyone knows that.
Yeah.
He did, in fact, email of his own volition.
By the way, you guys should send in emails.
Please send in emails.
What's the email address?
The email address is podcast@pixellegends.com.
At Pixel Legends with one L.
Pixel Legends with one L.
Yeah, I've been listening before.
Basically, he's just talking a little bit about. I'm going to just kind of paraphrase this here. He loves video games, comic books, superhero movies, and he owns the Xbox 360 and the Wii. And he wanted to know how we all knew each other.
Let's just start with Matt.
Which is, yeah, and if you guys have questions, that'd be. I mean, obviously, you can just email us with a statement, but that's a little less to talk about than if we.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I started Pixel Legends. I guess I'll just explain that question for the most part. I have known Ethan since 2008.
Yes.
A year before Metal Gear Rising.
This is how, before or after Metal Gear Rising is how we're going to calculate these
From
years.
Now on.
I've known Andrew since 2006, which was 3 years before Metal Gear Rising.
Yes.
And I've known Ricardo since 2011?
Sound about right.
Yes, 2011. 2011, which is 2 years after Metal Gear Rising.
Yes.
So we have 3 years before Metal Gear Rising, 2 years, or 1 year before Metal Gear Rising.
It's getting more confusing than a plot from Metal Gear.
And so basically, so what happened was, Andrew was injected with nanomachines back in 2002.
Nanomachines,
when the government. All right, no, that's not true.
Be sure.
So Andrew and
hair's
I
pretty soft,
know each other through some mutual friends and also through our church. And in 2010, and I met Ethan in high school. Ricardo, we know through our university.
Yes.
So in 2010, I created. No, it was 2011. I created a website to go to E3 and blog about, because I wanted to be a journalist and write about video games.
Because one of our mutual friends had gotten us in.
Got him out loud to get into E3. So I was like, sweet, I'm going to write about this. I'm going to use it to show people that I can write about video games and stuff like that. So I did. I created a WordPress blog, and
I actually did the same.
Yeah, but it was just by yourself.
Yeah, and because I was in a journalism class at the time as well, and that was one of the requirements for the class, was to create just a simple WordPress blog. And mine at the time was called Cultured Gamer.
Yeah, and mine was called Pixel Legends. Yeah,
and I liked his better, so we went with that.
So I wrote a blog, and then about 3 or 4 months later, Andrew's like, "Remember when we went to E3? That was fun." And Ethan, you were at that E3.
And that was actually the first time that I met Ethan. Yes. Was at that E3.
And that's how that connection got started. And, Ethan also was studying journalism. But, again, me and him had already known each other. So we met up. Andrew met Ethan. And we talked about doing stuff. And then about 4 months later, Andrew was like, "Hey, you want to do a podcast? We should do more video game stuff." And I said, "Yeah, let's do it." So that's when the website became Pixel Legends, as it more formally is known today. Starting a few months after that, Ethan got involved to help us flesh out the website and give us more writers. And then we got an official domain name. We got an official website that should look like a real website.
I made the website look awesome, and that helped.
You helped. I helped as well. And then starting in 2012, after I'd known Ricardo for a little bit, I found out he liked video games, and I said, "Hey, you should write about video games with us."
And he said no.
And then he said,
"Why would I want to do that?"
But then I bought him flowers and took him out for dinner. And then I was like, you want to write video games for us?
I said, okay. Yeah. That's exactly how it happened.
Yep. And that's how it all began.
No, I knew Matt first. And
you had a video game shirt, a sweater on one day. I said, "Cool video game sweater." And you're like,
"Back at you," because I think you had one as well.
And then I jumped in halfway through. I was like, "Hey, who's this guy?"
You were not there at the time.
Yeah. Well, I know, like,
but no,
a school semester
like
later,
a year later.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
I popped in and was like, "Hey guys, what's up?"
And I said, like, "This is Ricardo."
I was like, "This is your friend. He's gonna be working with us," because we actually know each other. We actually met via the paper, I think.
Yeah, yeah. School, we worked at a newspaper.
School newspaper. So I was like, "Oh, he's your friend." And I met him, and I hated him immediately.
Yeah, I hated him, too.
And they've become arch enemies since then.
Who likes wrestling?
Only
dumb people.
And that's why he's on the Pixel Legends crew, because you just keep your enemies closer.
Because, yep, exactly. Precisely. And we have him on all of Ethan's videos, specifically, so that they can create drama and tension.
As you can tell.
Which is good for story. A story needs
conflict.
It's
not because Tomb Raider's bad.
As you can see.
It's because I hate Ricardo.
As you can see from wrestling, conflict tells the best stories.
Wrestling is the best stories.
I call face.
Absolutely.
Because anyone can go to any gaming website and get this kind of content, but it's the personalities that's going to sell.
Yeah, so that's what we're looking for here. And Andrew only met Ricardo.
I met him when we did our
end of the year,
Game of the Year podcast, which is in January.
Yep. Yeah.
And that was the first time these were introduced. And Andrews was there as well. We met Andrews also through school, through the school newspaper, working as a journalism student there.
That was also the
there.
First time that I had met Anders.
Yeah. So,
but I had heard about both of you guys before through Matt.
And then perhaps you're wondering about how we know Janice and Eric, who were on the last podcast and help us with
Pixel Vision series,
help produce and direct and star in that series as us as the writers. They were friends of friends, basically, is how that worked out. Almost happenstance. Eric works for a video game company that he wouldn't want us to disclose, and Janice is super interested in video games. And as we mentioned before, she wrote a book, and she was looking for some help with publicity for that. And so we wanted to talk about video games. She wanted to be on camera. It kind of worked out that way, and we've created a really good friendship there. And they are obviously really keen on helping us too, which is awesome.
Members of the Pixel Legends team.
Yep, exactly.
Hopefully, one day business partners.
Yeah, exactly. So we've been working with them. In fact, we're going to be working with them very shortly. So if you're hearing this podcast, look forward to some more stuff from Pixel Vision. because we've got that in the works right now. So yeah, that about wraps up the podcast, unless Ricardo has something to point out.
I don't know if this is when this is coming up, but we will have new content on the site.
We've done a lot of content.
Some things. A lot of things. We'll be finishing up Tomb Raider series slickers that will be going up.
Yeah, those are all done. Those are all filmed.
So those will be going up. And a new one will be starting. We're only in our way.
A new series.
Can you give a hint for the listeners?
We're way more keen on that.
Yes.
It's a game that we have a closer connection to.
Okay.
It's also a game that started around the same time as... Tomb Raider.
Well,
alright, there we go. That's enough hints.
Same
console generation.
Same console generation.
Yes. Okay.
It was indeed the starting point for this series as well. It's a shorter series, is another hint. But that's not.
Alright, now it's easy.
These are big.
These are easy.
No, it's easy.
I can totally pick it out now. I know what it is.
Alright, Andrew, can you guess it?
No. It's past midnight right now.
That's the podcast, everyone. Check us out, pixellegends.com. Subscribe on iTunes if you'd like. And send us an email. podcast@pixellegends.com is the email address.
Ask us a question.
Thanks, Aaron, for sending in that email. That's awesome, man.
Thanks, Mom.
And we will. Yeah, thanks, Mom. Ricardo wants to thank his mother. And we will catch you next time here at pixellegends.com. Oops, I need to hit the right key.